Edge with Chris Graham.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham, we're going to talk some Nats baseball. Game 4 preview as Washington with a 3-0 lead now on the St. Louis Cardinals, just a game away from a first ever berth for this Washington Nationals team and for the franchise dating back to its days in Montreal for a World Series. Now, still one game to go. I mean, we've seen one time in MLB history a team come back from a 3-0 deficit. Obviously, the odds are stacked in Washington's favor. They were even going into last night. Teams who win the first two on the road have won, I think it was the last 20 postseason series in Major League Baseball. Now with a 3-0 lead, the 8-1 win last night, and you know, talking about things being stacked up for the Nats in the right direction, it's not only a 3-0 lead, but the 2-0 lead, and then going into Game 3, Jack Flaherty getting the start for the Cardinals. He was probably the best pitcher in the National League in the second half of the season. He had gone in the second half. He had a 0.91 ERA. His last 17 starts had not given up more than three runs in a game and only had done that three times in 17 starts. He gave up four in four innings last night before being lifted for a pinch hitter as the Nats take advantage of the inability to get the third out, which is something that had been an issue for Washington in Game 3 of the NLDS way back. Seems like forever ago, only a week ago, but forever ago. And then putting things away from there, Steven Strasburg, 12 strikeouts, no walks, one run, seven hits in seven innings. Really only had the one tough inning, got out of the seventh, but he had a 7-0 lead at the time, ended up a 7-1 lead after seven. And so Washington gets the win and now on the brink of with two games at home. I mean, if Game 4 doesn't go the right way, you still have Game 5. That said, you want to close it out. If you happen to lose the next two, then home field advantage goes back to St. Louis with the Cardinals for Game 6 and 7, which would be I think Friday and Saturday in St. Louis. So you don't want to overlook the possibility that could happen. Baseball is a sport that can swing either way. Things are going, you know, the way the Nats want them to right now, though. Just one earned run in 27 innings allowed by this pitching staff. The bullpen has only needed to get 16 outs to get to this stage through three games. 16 outs being what? That's three or five and a third innings of relief to get to this stage. And they've done so without actually, well, I guess the one run was allowed by Doolittle in the eighth inning of Game 2. So one run, one earned run given up in that stretch. The starters obviously have done well. I've done great. Anibal Sanchez, 7 2/3, one hit. Max Scherzer, 7 innings, one hit. Last night, the one run, seven hit performance by Strasburg. Tonight, Patrick Corbin gets the ball for the Washington Nationals, and he'll face St. Louis starter Dakota Hudson. And interesting about Dakota Hudson, I don't, you know, we obviously don't follow St. Louis that closely. We follow the Nats, we cover the Nats. The first real inkling I had of anything about Dakota Hudson, he's pitched twice against the Nats this year, and he won the matchup in September when these two teams played most recently. Also lost way back in early May. Almost don't want to count those one way or the other for either side, the numbers from those games, because that just seems like so long ago, and it really is. But Cardinals fans, on a Cardinals blog, I just happened to, when I was doing some research, not being big fans of Dakota Hudson. We won 16 games this year. He was 16-7, 3.35 ERA. The one issue, he's not a big strikeout guy, 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. You know, not a hard thrower, and gives up, you know, a good bit of base runner. There's a lot of traffic on the base paths, a Cards blog that was sort of breaking down his pitching performance, I'm not going to go into the fielding independent pitching and those numbers, batting average on balls in play and that kind of stuff, but the case was made by the Cards blogger that he's been a lucky pitcher this year. I say that, and then say, in two starts against the Nats, again, 1-1 record, and even in the loss was a 2-1 loss back in May. He gave up two runs in six innings, struck out seven, walked two. He got the win on September 16th, gave up two runs in seven innings and struck out one and walked two. So he's pitched well against the Nats. He's a pitch-to-contact guy, obviously, and He's had success. You look at the Nats lineup against Hudson this year, collective 10 for 53 against Hudson, and a slash line that's, you know, this suggests this could be an uphill battle tonight for the Nats. 189, 271, 264 slash line. Those are elite level numbers. You know, and obviously in one matchup for Hudson. The Cards bloggers might not be the biggest fans, but neither are the Nats. You look at the lineup, kind of breaking things down here, and I'll just go in order of performance. Let's go the other way. Let's go in order of how they'll bat tonight. Trey Turner, your leadoff guy, is 0 for 3. He's not walked, so he's not reached base against him yet. Juan Soto, 0 for 3 with 3 walks. So I shouldn't go there. I should have gone. So Trey Turner, your leadoff hitter. Adam Eaton, 1 for 6 with a walk. Career. Your number 3 hitter is Anthony Rendon. Rendon, 2 for 4, a home run career. So, again, not a lot of at-bats here. Your number 4 hitter, then Soto, 0 for 3 with 3 walks. Your number 5 hitter, likely tonight, Howie Kendrick, 1 for 3 career. Let's see. Your number 6 hitter, likely Ryan Zimmerman, 1 for 3 with a double and 3 RBIs and a walk. Number 7 hitter is probably going to be Yan Gomes. He's going to get the start tonight at catcher, I presume. 2 for 6 career with 2 strikeouts. And your number 8 hitter, Victor Robles, 1 for 6 with an RBI. So not a lot of success there. And I wanted to look then at Patrick Corbin's career against the Cardinals. And this year, 1-1 in 2 starts, he gave up 6 runs on 6 hits in 5 innings in a loss back April 29th. And then he got the win on September 17th. Gave up 2 runs, neither of those runs earned, in 6 innings. Struck out 11 and walked 4. So recent success for both these pitchers against their opponents in that 3-game series in St. Louis middle of last month. And looking at their lineup, leadoff hitter likely Dexter Fowler, 6 of 19, a double, a triple, 3 RBIs. See, Colton Wong will be your number 2 hitter, 0 for 5 career, no walk, so he's not reached base. Let's see, your number 3 hitter is, I think it's usually Goldschmidt, 2 for 4 with a double, a couple walks. Marcell Ozuna, your number 4 hitter, 4 for 21, a home run, 5 runs batted in, 3 walks, but also 8 strikeouts against Corbin. I'm noticing that I missed the number of strikeouts for Goldschmidt. I'll have to correct that in the story. So from there, Jose Martinez, likely he got the start last night. The good hit, no field guy who would be a perfect American League DH. 3 for 10, a double, 3 RBI, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Yadier Molina, probably your number 6 hitter, or maybe number 5 hitter. I'm skipping around here because I didn't put these in the order that I'm going down right now. 4 for 16, an RBI, a couple walks. Harrison Bader, 3 for 8, a double, a home run among his 8 at-bats. Also 5 strikeouts, though. So when he's 3 for 8 with 5 strikeouts and a double and a home run and a single, obviously, in the mix there. Matt Carpenter would be the other third baseman, 3 for 14, all 3 of his hits doubles, also 7 strikeouts and 5 walks. So a lot of results there. Paul DeJong, 1 for 7, a couple walks. So success in that lineup, collectively a 250, 339, 384 slash line, a lot better slash line certainly than what the Nats have put up against Hudson in his brief career. The pitching matchup maybe does, you just look at it straight up there, the pitching matchup going into the game does seem to favor the Cardinals. And what you're looking for, this is the first start since game 1 of the NLDS for Corbin in the playoffs. He's pitched 3 times in relief. He does have 2 losses this postseason. He lost that game 1 start, pitched well, just was outpitched by Walker Buehler in that 6-0 loss. He only gave up 2 runs in that game, but the 6-0 loss, bullpen gave up some runs late. He took the loss also in game 3 of the NLDS. We all remember that. Gave up 6 runs in 2/3 of an inning. Just could not get the third out. Had a couple 2-strike counts before any runs came across with 2 outs, and just could not get the out. Eventually got torched for those 6 runs. Then he had a couple of nice outings after, including getting an out in the 9th inning of the game 2 win. He reportedly read through the post-game presser last night, and he was reportedly making himself available to pitch if he needed to last night, even with tonight being the starter. Smarter heads prevailed. Davey Martinez said, "Nope, you're not pitching tonight. We're not going to use you for even an out tonight." You know, you're starting on Thursday, game four, the potential clincher for the Nats. Game five would be tomorrow. We don't know. Well, we say that it would be tomorrow. Weather forecast not good for either Washington or New York. And I saw a report on ESPN today that rain could impact one or both games, and it could impact both games even if it only impacts one game directly. Heavy rain expected in New York tomorrow for what would be, I guess that would be game four. Game three for those two is this afternoon, Houston and New York being those two in the American League. Scheduled for a late start tomorrow night in New York. But if that game were to be rained out and the Nats were not to be rained out, there's talk about moving the Nats game from what's scheduled now, an afternoon start, to an evening start. Now, that said, the same weather system is likely to impact both Washington and New York. Geographically, they're not that far apart. And so it is also a possibility that both games could be rained out. If there are games, both games tomorrow, there certainly will be one in the American League, but if the Nats win tonight, obviously the point is moot from an NLCS perspective. So if you're a Nats fan, you just want your team to win tonight, and you can forget the rest of it. So that is certainly the wish for Nats fans and going into this one. I usually give a breakdown here, and I'll repeat the breakdown of, you know, the strategies going into the game from a pitching standpoint. Patrick Corbin is of the starters so far, I guess you would expect Sanchez, or you would hope Sanchez would give you six innings. Gave you 7 2/3. He's actually gone the furthest so far of the three starters for the Nats. Both Scherzer and Strasburg gave the Nats seven innings of work each. Corbin would be back in the Sanchez expectation range. You're hoping to get six out of him. His pitch counts have been high lately in his starts. He seems to be a you know, sort of a two-result guy in a lot of ways. He strikes out a lot of guys. He walks a lot of guys. At least he has been lately. His ERA for the season of 3.25, and you know, it's hard to look at his postseason ERA impacted so much by that six runs and 2/3 of an inning. But he is a guy that, you know, his pitch counts because he strikes out a lot of guys and will walk more guys than you certainly should feel comfortable with, that will elevate pitch counts. And so if you can get six from him tonight, you're probably going to be pretty happy with that if you're a Nats fan. You know, the bullpen is set up nicely. Sean Doolittle and Daniel Hudson did not have to go last night because of the fact that it was a big lead for the Nationals late in the game. In fact, early in the game, it was a big lead. And so as a result, you got to use a lot of your secondary bullpen guys. You know, you saw Fernando Rodney give a nice inning, the eighth inning. Tanner Rainey pitched the ninth and actually was pretty effective. And so either of those guys should be available tonight, I would think, for at least an out, maybe another inning if needed. If they're needed to pitch, say, the sixth inning or maybe the seventh inning, you could potentially use those guys. And Doolittle and Hudson are certainly available later on. I don't know that you do anything else with potential, you know, with starters. You know, from the standpoint of you know, how Davies managed the rest of the playoffs, it seems. You know, with a 3-0 lead, you don't need to manage like your hair's on fire, like he's done so well to get to this stage. So I think you're probably looking, you know, if you're looking, if he can give you the six innings, that would be your ideal. And then try to, again, steal an inning, you know, with Roenis Elias, maybe Javi Guerra are both on the roster. They can maybe give you an inning. They're more B bullpen guys, but they could certainly do so if needed. Austin Voth actually is looking like he's on the roster too for the postseason. And so maybe he can, you know, he's got to be fresh. He hasn't pitched in a while. I think more of a long option there, though. I really think that you probably, like, if the Nats are in a tie game or have a small lead after six innings, and Corbin does give you the six innings, I think you're probably likely to see Tanner Rainey be the first guy out of the bullpen for a seventh inning, and save Doolittle and Hudson for an eighth inning, and hope that you can between Rainey and Rodney, you can maybe get out of an inning, perhaps Elias if you need a lefty out in the seventh inning. But I think once you get to the eighth, if it's, again, a tie game or a lead, you're going to see Doolittle probably in the eighth, again, depending on where the lineup is. But probably Doolittle in the eighth, Hudson in the ninth, And that would be the strategy for Washington. If you're the Cardinals, I think you're back to, we talked about this on the podcast yesterday, I think you're back to where you need to play this one like it's game seven. Because it is. Your season ends tonight if you don't win. And really, you know, that's the approach probably for the duration here for the Cardinals. You can't save anybody for tomorrow. Kind of saw that last night when Flaherty, you know, unfortunately for the Cardinals, was not able to give them the outing that they expected in terms of, you know, longevity and effectiveness. The pinch hitter came in the top of the fifth. And, you know, I think you'll see that again tonight. And I think not even as pronounced as last night. It was a 4-0 game last night when you saw a pinch hitter. I think it could be as little as 1-0 or 2-0 in the middle innings. And, you know, if the Cardinals need to get some punch, they'll do what they can to try to find some punch in that lineup, because there's no tomorrow if you don't win today if you're the Cardinals. So that plays to the advantage of the Nats, you know, as a result of if you can get, like, you know, when I talked about game plan yesterday, I didn't foresee that it was possible that you could get, you know, an early lead off of, you know, the guy who'd been the most dominant pitcher in the National League in the last, you know, the last 3 or 4 months. But they did, and once you got that lead in that situation, then what that presented the opportunity, you know, when you can get him out of the game, even if it's a 4-0 game, you know, he could still give you some more innings. That was definitely something that the Nats were able to exploit and even build upon that at that time 4-0 lead and make it 7-0, eventually an 8-1 final. You know, it's sort of like, you know, in other sports, if you're in hockey and you pull the goalie late, you know, if you can add something at the end of that as a result to give yourself some more cushion, you know, a football team having to throw the ball a lot, so when they're down, you know, if you can exploit that. I mean, the parallels in other sports, if your basketball team is behind and has to shoot a lot of three-pointers, that can lead to some fast break opportunities. So if the Nats can get a run or two early in this game, really put the Cardinals behind the eight ball. You can get into their bullpen sooner and maybe, you know, kind of take it from there. But the Cards, again, they have no choice. They lose this game tonight. Their season is over. And, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to go 1-0 today and go 1-0 tomorrow and get this back to St. Louis with home field advantage. And you know, you can't look at it like you're down 3-0 and you have to win four straight. You just have to look at it like we have to win today. And of course, the Nats are looking the same way. I don't know that this Nats franchise, which has played playoff baseball basically since late May, is going to let up anytime soon. A win tonight means no baseball for Nats fans for a week. World Series doesn't start until next Tuesday. And that would be a welcome break for these guys, I'm sure, given the grind they've been going through since May 24th. When they woke up that morning with a 19-31 record, they would love to get some time off let the Dodgers the Yankees and Astros beat each other up for a while. Maybe have a rainout and have to extend it even further. That would not be something that the Nats fans and Nats players would find to be too disconcerting, I don't believe. So look for Augusta Free Press. We will. It's 2:30 as I'm finishing this recording right now. We will monitor the pregame pressers with both teams, which are coming up just in a little bit of time, actually, and give you any last, you know, the last minute update, so to speak, heading into tonight's action. Then, of course, after the game, we will have coverage, a game recap. We'll you know, catch up with the teams, players, and managers, and get a feel for the postgame situation. If the Nats win tonight and clinch. Clinch a World Series berth, I imagine we'll probably do a special podcast after as well. You know, as late in the night as it may be, a chance at a first World Series for Nats fans. And I'm a Nats fan too, so a lot of opportunities here hopefully coming up for Nats fans in the next few days. So I think I'll sign it off for there. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Again, keep up with us here on Augusta Free Press, and we'll sort of be one of your places to go for Nats baseball. Have a great day, everybody.